Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
You know, Oscar, it's kind of cool driving into the city now because you can see them getting ready for the inauguration.
That's cool.
They're putting up all the scaffolding, getting ready for it. And it looks like it's going to be decent
red,
weather.
Red, white,
for it.
And blue.
And also, because of that, they're getting ready with the approvals. They're putting the people in front of the hot seat, putting them in the hot seat for the new Trump staff.
The approvals.
Today, well, they have to approve them before they can put them in their seats. And today we are joined by, I would call him an advocate.
Hearings, you dumbass.
Hey, language, you're a guest here.
Oh, I'm so sorry. What was that, Rob? You know a confirmation hearing.
I'm trying to soften the wording a little bit.
No, I apologize. I just...
And you just come right in, don't you?
I know. I'll set off to the side and wait for my proper introduction.
Today...
So the movie, The Approval.
How's that?
The Approval.
That's right. The hot seat today is,
I knew,
course,
right from the get-go the boys were into this bit. I could tell, Pony. They did everything but snore when I effing brought it up. All right, let's reset Rob Spiewak. Let's get into it.
What I'm telling you is that today, you know who's in the hot seat is, of course, Jeff Sessions, who is up for Attorney General, and he's been getting a lot of flack. And here, sort of,
Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III, if you please.
That's his full name?
Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III.
Legal name.
And that is the primary reason I dropped by, but I don't believe you properly introduced me,
well,
Mr. Spiewak.
Because I was taught not to interrupt, sir.
Yeah, that's where you were taught well by your daddy and your daddy's daddy and your daddy's daddy's daddy.
Here he is to serve as a character advocate for Jeff Sessions, the former
on
governor.
On your show, I'm not formally testifying, but
No.
Interrupted again. I'm sorry. Well, it's all
no need to put your hand on a Bible or anything.
You're going... You threw me off the rails with your whole approval moment.
Well, he's seeking approval
about.
Like we all are.
They are confirmation hearings.
Confirmation
from the
hearings.
United States Congress of the United States.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the former governor of Mississippi, Haley Reeves Barber.
Haley Reeves Barber in the house.
Should we call you governor?
Well, hello there.
Do we still call you governor?
You can call me governor. I've attained the rank of governor, and therefore the etiquette would provide that you refer to me as Governor Barber, or you can call me Haley, because Rob Spiewak, we go back a long way, do we not?
Well, we've known each other for some time,
that
yeah.
That is absolutely correct. It's so good to be with you, and well, hello and buenos noches, Oscar Santana.
It's buenos dias, but hello, sir.
Well,
thank you for joining us.
It is very nice to be on your program today, and I hope that you, Oscar Santana, will enjoy this interview as much as I enjoy being here.
Governor, there's no need to talk slow and loud to him. He speaks English.
Yes.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. Yeah,
and, oh, I'm so
and,
sorry.
And
I'm
your
so terribly sorry.
Your Wikipedia page, sir,
yes.
says
yes. Uh-huh.
that you were a junior United States Senator.
Yes, United States Senator.
Is it Senator or Governor?
You can call me Haley Reeves. Haley Reeves. That's not why I'm here, you see.
No. You're not. It's not about you.
I am
just
here
the facts.
To defend the honor of a man who is being browbeaten in the press. The dishonest media. He is being raked over the coals.
You say the media is dishonest?
Oh, I should come down there with my cane. I should come down there and cane the back of your neck, Rob Spiewak. You know what I'm talking about. I'd like to talk about my good dear friend, Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III, the next Attorney General of the United States of America, a man who will do a wonderful job of enforcing the law the right way.
Now, did you have the pleasure of meeting Jefferson Beauregard Sessions II?
Did I have the pleasure? Of course I did. I knew his daddy.
And his daddy's daddy?
And I knew his daddy, and my daddy knew his daddy's daddy.
And did you ever get together?
Oh, of course. Did we ever get together? I mean, it's Alabama and Mississippi. They're very close to each other.
You guys became Eagle Scouts together, right?
We are close. We are, as you would refer to that. If you, for want of a better expression, I would like to use an old expression. We are thick as thieves.
Shocking that you would use an old expression.
We're thick as thieves, but we never stole anything.
No, all right? No.
What we did was make sure that people who did steal, if they were accused, would do the proper punishment.
What was the proper punishment?
There were a variety of punishments.
Understood.
You know, you just want to make sure it doesn't happen again.
That's true.
What my daddy told me.
Now, what did your dad steal?
Steal somebody's property that belongs to you, and you should make sure that that property is...
Did your daddy's daddy ever offer any advice to Jefferson's daddy?
Oh, my goodness. I'm sure they commiserated, but I was not there, so I can't tell you that. But I remember what Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III said to me one time when we were sitting there having a lovely mint julep in one of the caucus rooms. You see, Jefferson was one to sneak in some gin occasionally.
And you would drink during political action?
Well, of course, it's a private club. It's not more than that.
Oh, I see.
And he said to me, I remember this like this was yesterday. He said, you know what? They're always complaining.
Who did he mean by they?
Oh, it doesn't matter. You know.
I don't know that I do.
Governor.
Well, hello, Oscar.
Can you confirm?
Once again, he's fluent in English.
Can you confirm
that
both of the Sessions' parents were primarily English ancestry and some Scottish?
Yeah, that would be, you know, I would say when you look at a family tree, you want to see English, you want to see Scottish, and you... maybe French, but I don't want to go too far.
No, don't go any crazy.
Yeah. But Beauregard, you probably have some influence with that. But, Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III is a man of impeccable...
Do you always say all four names?
Well, I think it's important to give a man his full name when he is, when he is sitting before Congress to attain this office right now. And let me just say... On behalf of Haley Reeves, Barbara.
Yes, that's you.
I hope that Jefferson Sessions sails through his confirmation hearing today, and that in the blink of an eye, the Senate will confirm him, and he will be the next AG.
Do you see this happening because he has a checkered past.
Yes.
A lot of that will come up today.
Yeah, I believe he will. He will have no problems whatsoever. Where the problem is, people like you,
me,
who are constant. Well, not you specifically, Rob. I know that I've spoken with you in private before the show and after the show, and I like the way you think. I think you think clearly.
Well, I don't know that I really need that sort of good confirmation from you.
You were telling me that one time that Big Daddy was providing some corn for people.
That he was my mother's daddy.
Your mother's daddy,
right?
Your big daddy was your grandfather.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. That's fine. You said that back in the day, in the 1960s, he would sell corn to the right kind of people.
When you say the right kind of people,
well, you know what I'm saying,
Governor.
Yes. Hello, Oscar.
There he goes. There he goes again.
I am back.
That is good. Well, hola.
And what does that mean, Governor?
Hello. Oh,
hello.
Okay, just checking.
Oh, hello.
Can you confirm
that your
daddy and the Sessions daddy and the Spiewak daddy are against Chinese checkers?
Well,
if you were to play a game, say you're back at that club where you had the gin, would you be more likely to play Chinese checkers?
Well,
or regular checkers.
Before I answer your question, what lovely music you have playing in the background.
You like that?
There. Could you turn that up for a minute? Isn't that lovely?
That's from a movie. I don't know if you've ever would have had occasion to see it. Gone with the Wind.
Oh, I love that film. This takes me back to a nice drink on a hot summer afternoon on the pole.
Spoiler alert, they lost the war.
Yeah. Don't remind me about that. I think about that every day. There's not a day in my life that I do not wake up and pause and remember the great sons of the Confederacy that gave their lives for a noble cause, the South.
Okay.
Anyway.
I'm not so sure we should continue down that line. Let me ask you about Jeff.
Well, no, I mean, they were Americans, too. They just had a different viewpoint.
Seceded from the Union
by
definition of the war.
Oh, nippity-pick. You can nippity-pick all day long. Oscar, I see you are raising your mano.
Yes.
That means hand.
Yes, I am back once. again.
Hola.
Oh, that was nice. You sang it.
It says in 1999, Sessions was co-sponsoring a bill to award Rosa Parks the Congressional Gold Medal. What did your daddy's daddy think of that?
My daddy's daddy, I cannot speak for, but I said to Jeff, and now I'll shorten his name, I said, Jeff, this would be a pleat in your cake if you could do this. I think you would have people, you would turn people's opinions around if you pulled that off. I think that would be a marvelous idea, and I think that's wonderful for you, Oscar, to infuse that fact into this bit, which kind of derails me as you, as you pursue that moderate Republican thing you do, but that's okay.
Let me offer
that's
this
really fine.
As you know, perhaps
the
counterpoint.
The comedy is disregarded when he can support his gun.
My agenda.
Let me offer this as perhaps counterpoint to what Oscar just brought up. May
What's
I
that?
Call him Jeff? Is that okay if I call
Jeff
him Jeff Sessions?
That's what he's referred to, Senator Jeff Sessions.
He grew up in a time with a more divided America. He actually went to segregated schools.
Yes,
and
he did.
One of the things that they're worried about at this confirmation hearing is that because he had such a conservative past, he's not going to really champion the rights of the immigrants and civil rights.
Ballpark it. That's absolutely untrue. That's the kind of stuff. That's the kind of hoggity wash that is causing this entire thing to get sidetracked. Look, they can say this administration is discriminatory. That is absolutely not true. I would point out to each.
I'm not talking about the administration.
Room,
I'm talking about the man.
The man is impeccable with integrity. He is absolutely.
What does that even mean?
Jefferson Beauregard.
He's clean as a whistle.
Absolutely, whistle it clean. You can eat off his forehead.
But
lay out the chicken on his forehead and lap it up because he is clean as a whistle.
I
absolutely
don't want to eat chicken off anybody's forehead, and
well,
I also don't want to.
Let me just say, if you laid out that chicken dinner on Jefferson Sessions, Jefferson Beauregard Sessions the Third, by that would be a tasty meal, and you'd not even taste a lick of skin. Well, the only skin you'd taste would be on the chicken.
Would there be any slaw?
Oh, I'd love some slaw.
A biscuit?
Yeah. Oh, we had wonderful people in our kitchen when I was growing up.
People?
Oh, the coleslaw. Oh, they were.
What people did you have in your kitchen?
Staff.
Okay.
We had staff for the home. And they made
some
delicious
coleslaw.
So
your mother and your mother's mother didn't actually do the cooking in your house?
You are a kidder. Well, of course not. No, absolutely not.
I just take pause when you say the people.
Yeah. Yeah, they would play bridge, and that would be about the extent of it. Yes.
Speaking of games.
Hola again, my friend.
I am back.
I know you
Why
are back.
Why do you keep saying that?
I'm making it clear.
Okay. Yes. All right.
To the governor here.
Yeah. Right. All right. Can you throw me another comedy nugget that
yes.
I have to dance around? Thank you so very much.
The national championship game.
Oh, tough break, Governor.
Oh, man, those Clemson Tigers done stuck a stake in Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III because he's a Roll Tide guy because
yes,
you know,
of
Alabama.
Course.
Of course.
And all that. That was an absolute heartbreaker.
Some people call it Bama.
What a great game. I tell you, I say, some of those people out there on that field can really fly.
Some of those people?
Yeah, like the wind.
What do you mean?
Run, run, run!
Like Forrest Gump?
I'm not sure I know what you mean.
They just do a fantastic job. And that's why, you know, I love see a college football team or a professional football team. It's wonderful to see, you know, people from different backgrounds and cultures get together and for one goal, and that is to win the football game. Mm. And may I add one other thing?
Of course.
For those of you that might be questioning Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III or anybody in the Trump administration, I should point out it's not lost on me that his closest advisor is that young boy that's going to be sitting in the White House.
His White House advisor.
Senior White House.
Son?
Right, now, need I say
Stepson?
More? His son-in-law.
Son-in-law, that's what it's called.
His son. That's not lost on it. Now, you know about him, right?
Well, I think we should make it clear for everybody. His name is Jared Kushner.
Yes. Jared Kushner, that's the name. Yeah, and
do you focus
Trump
on names,
right
sir?
In the seat of power. I do not pay attention. Last names don't matter to me.
What about first names?
I'm simply Jared will do a fine job, and you know, I think that says it all. Look, you know, I don't have to spell it out.
Well,
for
your painting was sort of a broad brush. What do you mean, sir?
Yeah, are we clicking on religion or race?
Well, I'm just saying that I think that, you know, if he's going to be in the White House, I think that's okay, and I think everybody should say, well, why would a person that he doesn't go to church the same day I do.
What do you mean by go to church? I'm sure you can. I mean, it's in the Constitution. You'd be any religion you want.
Now you're trying to get me to say something. I'm not going to say. I'm not going to go
not
down
on Confirmation
I'm
Day.
I'm making a point about my friend, Mr. Sessions.
All right, finish
and
up with Sessions.
I don't want to talk about that young boy that's in the White House, although the point I'm trying to make is the point you should all make, and you should be aware. But do I have to spell it out for you?
Just make a statement, please.
He's not a Christian.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Bruffel. My name is Dr. Ludwig Kingsman. I am a grandmaster dialectician.
It is a pleasure to meet you. I'm Madame Michelle.
A lovely French dialect, Dr. Kingsman. Please come in. My son Owen is in the den talking to himself.
Well, come on down south, y'all. Y'all want some old possum? Come on, y'all. Don't make me whoop y'all butt.
Very impressive. Does he know any other hillbilly dialects besides Appalachian?
Oh, yes. Just by watching TNN, he's learned over 20 Southern dialects.
Most kids I compete with in dialects can't even do more than 3 or 4 different Southern drawls, y'all.
Hello, Owen.
Dr. Kingsman is a grandmaster dialectician, and he was a friend of your father's.
Top of the morning to you. Kiss the Blarney Stone.
The drunk Irishman dialect requires more throat right here.
Relax, Owen. Dr. Kingsman just wants to teach you some more dialects.
I already have a teacher, Davy Chalk in the park.
I'm well aware of Davy Chalk. You can't trust the dialects in the park. They are not pure. Too many influences.
Forget this, Mom. Let's go to the park.
You have obvious talent, Owen. Did you know I can do a heroin addict from any country in the world?
No way.
Try me.
Lithuania.
Give me a little man. I just need a taste.
Eskimo.
Give me a little man. I just need a taste.
Awesome. Are you really a grandmaster dialectician?
Owen, son. Of very few, a grandmaster dialecticians alive today. It is a dying art.
Grandmaster Dialectician Diploma. Certificate of Grand Mastery. Wow.
It is a great honor to achieve.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now,
from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Well, hey, diddly-eye, you picked the right day to run that piece of tape. We are live from the Pfeiffer Studios in Washington, D.C. The Mike O'Mara Show is on the air. The Mike O'Mara Show, a national podcast and a radio show with a great loyal following around the world.
Saturday!
TMOS listeners get it, and if you're here, so do you. You can reach us at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673 or MikeOMaraShow.com. Online, on air, on now. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. Today brought to you by Zip Recruiter. It's the new year. That means a fresh start for your business. And a great year starts with making great hires. But posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can with Zip Recruiter. You can jumpstart your hiring in 2017. Post your job to over 200 job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or annoying calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million million businesses. Right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter absolutely free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. We love it. Make 2017 a great year for you and your company. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS and try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. Oscar Santana, my God.
Yes, sir.
You came in today in a goofy mood.
Yeah.
Why are you picking on our good friend who's visiting us in the studio today, Mr. Joel Rogers,
pilot
extraordinaire? Well, you're just talking about autopilot.
He was planning it yesterday. He said, as he left the studio, I can't wait till he comes in tomorrow.
Then I'm doing the Haley Barber bit, and he's like, let me find something that is contradictory to this entire bit.
I didn't even know if
Mike can punch his way out of that bag.
Sessions was until you told me. That's how far out of it I am. I know who Peter Thiel is, by the way. I had to look him up.
The whole deal is, lots going on in Washington leading up to the inauguration.
But so living here, Mike, no one cares here. Like, we are so over the election in this town that we are beaten down, and I was excited to come in and see Joel Rogers, because every time I talk about autopilot and these planes landing themselves,
right,
whether it's on Facebook or on a group message, he gets pissed.
Well,
because
really,
I'm telling the truth, and you get bitter.
Hey,
do they land themselves?
Not at National, because they don't have the hardware here.
Before you begin your counterpoint to the Bolivian scab picker, let me
welcome Joel.
Give my counterpoint.
BSP.
This was a major news story across every platform in the United States today. So just before you say that nobody cares, it's simply the news of the day. And Haley Barber is a regular character in my report.
And the fact that his name is
Jefferson Beauregard. Sessions the what's that?
He is?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I don't know these things.
There was a certain issue about the KKK at a previous
see, I don't know.
Confirmation.
I'm not aware. Mm-hmm. I am not aware.
Well, that's why we did it.
So I'm so
it
out of the politics world that I appreciate you guys.
Well, it really
it
wasn't a political bit. It was just fun because the name was fun. And Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III.
Beauregard was probably the funnest part of it.
Seriously, he ought to be a plantation owner in a Quentin Tarantino film. That's why I did the bit, Oscar, not to be political. Don't get paranoid. Come on now. But I think you have a – let me just make it clear. I said before that when anything that's even remotely within the realm of politics comes up, it will be done in a lighthearted vein, and that was a textbook example of that. And I will not be giving up on that. I think there's a lot of funny to come in the next 4 years. There's a lot of fun, so much humor.
There's gonna be so many. I think Jimmy Kimmel said it best. This is the best thing that could have happened for comedy overall.
I think it is. Yeah. And so I knew it was Jeff Sessions, but when I came in today, I said, I know he's got a funny full name. And when Ponyboy said Jefferson Beauregard.
I honestly thought Matt was making up. I thought he was making the name up.
Right. I mean, he could be a lifelong civil rights attorney and it wouldn't matter. You know, I mean, because that Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III sounds like seriously he ought to be doing a Kentucky Fried Chicken commercial.
You know, what if he showed up to confirmation in the Colonel Sanders outfit?
If comedy took over the world, right?
Yes.
If comedy took over the world, that would be
also,
loosen your string tie, sir.
I stayed up late watching that national championship game. And I got to tell you, who saw that coming? Clemson.
You are so middle America. You ought to move down here. Because they all were out there at their bar last night, and I got about 20 invites down here from the Indiana contingent. It's like, come on up, watch the national championship game. And I follow the professional sport.
Yes.
I do not follow the college
sport. Did you take my television recommendation last night?
I taped it, but I did not. So I DVR'd it, and I plan on watching it.
Mike.
Rob gave me a recommendation on The Wall, which is...
Plinko for idiots.
I won't share the politically incorrect way that you recommended it. It was Plinko for challenged people. That's what it was. That's how Rob described it.
It is everything that a stupid person would love in a television show.
When I saw The
You've
Wall
got
last
two
week, solid game.
Married fat contestants. One of them's in isolation. One of them has to guess whether or not the lady is going to get the question right based on the answers. He sees the multiple choices, and he says, so it says like 28, 32, 69. I don't know. She knows numbers too good. And then they have these magical
visually
light up
it's stimulating.
It's stunning. It's yes. stunning. But it is. Then again, so is the Jay Leno Tonight Show.
I was too busy on the cable box watching the incredible Pick Me Up, Fathers and Daughters with Russell Crowe, which was just continuing the series of depressive programming.
Isn't it based on Larry King's book?
It was so depressing.
Daddy
it
Day
was
Daughter.
So depressing. I mean, just constant depression. And, you know, the acting was great. Is it Amanda Seyfried? Is that her name?
Yes, that's the name.
I think she's an amazing actress. And then it had Jesse Pinkman was in it also. So, I mean, they had some good actors.
Spend
in it, so
some time
it.
With your daughter, bitch. This is best line.
He was the boyfriend, not the daughter.
Oh, okay.
So,
all
right. Well, Clemson takes down the Crimson Tide, right? Mm. So, and you see that and you're like, ah. Who saw that coming, A? And then B, I knew that Joel Rogers was flying in, and he was right. going to come in with his cocky
say
pilot,
autopilot.
Pilot
go ahead.
Attitude. And
see, gonna, I'm not a, Rob, I'm not there, so and I've spent very little time with Joel in person. I have never perceived... the word cocky is not.
Yeah, I was saying describing Joel as cocky is like describing a golf
he's
club as edible.
He's the roller coaster tycoon. He's the guy that has.
Not a tycoon.
He's got so much time
it's
on it.
To
he's
me.
Got so
hold
much
on.
Time.
Yes. All right. We're all over the place.
Yeah.
Today.
Can we reset? Okay. Maybe with a break.
Doing just fine.
Let me hone this all in. Let's come back and explore yes. this very interesting relationship between one of our wonderful guests, Mr. Joel Rogers, loyal fan,
one of the most
supporter of the show,
the best, one of the best supporters of the program.
And Oscar Santana.
And Oscar both sides of the net. Santana.
She's like wrangling kittens on certain days. We'll be right back, everybody.
The TMOS Elite Whiskey Society presents Questions for a Whiskey Drinker.
Here's a letter from Will in New Hampshire. Will writes, why whiskey? Well, Will, because whiskey puts hair on your chest, not on your palms.
Check out the TMOS Elite Whiskey Society on Facebook or in bars where fine whiskeys are sold.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Vistaprint. We love Vistaprint, and there is nothing better than handing someone your card. It is a classy move, a dynamite first impression, and the deal continues now. 500 business cards for $9.99 when you enter the promo code TMOS at checkout. 500 cards for under $10. Rob's got another one today.
I got a greater card for you, Mike. So good.
Good.
Whenever you are in Live Oak, California, you got to eat at Pasquini's, fine Italian food. Angelo Michele, I believe is the name. The chef and the owner had these beautiful cards made up with the Italian colors right on them. And the restaurant is in Live Oak, California, Pasquini's. And I love that their logo involves a martini because one does not eat without drink.
And our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody out there in NorCal dealing with that, and Reno, Nevada, and all the people that are getting dumped on with all that rain. Hang in there, guys. Nothing beats the business cards at Vistaprint. It's never been so easy to look so professional. Use a Vistaprint template or your own logo. Vistaprint will make you look great. Every one of us has designed a card at Vistaprint. Easy, 100% user-friendly, and they're fantastic. Remember, use our code TMOS at Vistaprint.com, and you'll get 500 business cards for $9.99. That is a 50% savings. Visit Vistaprint.com, create the card, and then put TMOS in there at checkout. Remember, TMOS, go to Vistaprint.com and order yours today. Welcome to the show. Always an adventure. Yes, massive story last night on the college football front with Clemson upsetting Alabama, the Crimson Tide. And, you know, I don't know what – this is completely irrational, but is it Nick Saban? Is that the coach of Alabama? Is that
yes,
the guy?
Yes, yes, yes. Nice pull,
and
Mike.
He is just, I mean, that you want to talk
douche
about
of douches.
A man, a douche of douche who has had the smoke blown up his butt for his entire, yeah. It just seems like.
Well, he's 5-1 in national championship game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And everybody wants to play for Alabama in the South and probably around the nation.
Mike, there have been conversations about Alabama championship games playing NFL teams and winning. That's how.
Championship teams. The thing about this guy is that he's got the perfectly coiffed hair. He, you know, they talk about his. He's an incredibly good golfer.
$5 million a year.
Mm-hmm. $5 million a year to coach a college team. And really, ultimately, yes, is it a pressure cooker of
powerhouse.
A program? Yes, it is. But at the same time, you got to win. They expect it. They have a standard. But he's just in the catbird seat. And, you know, the guy reads his own press. So
of course.
It frustrates me. And it was great to see.
But, Mike, it really is. It's about the education.
Right. Can I give you a Clemson story, a
Please.
Memory of Clemson?
Please.
Yes.
So when I went to American University, we had a Division I, thank you. We had our Division I American University Eagles soccer team, really an elite team, the years that I went to AU, the 2 years that I was at American University. And I don't know if they beat Clemson for the national championship or whether they were in the playoffs. All I know is that with their elite level, American University was a teeny tiny school that did not devote the kind of budget to their athletic program that you would get at these massive universities.
Sure.
And so the guys from AU went down to Clemson. And my good buddy, the late Dougie Dugan, Debbie Cedillo Dugan, has been posting beautifully with on Facebook about him. This was just a funny guy. And really, Billy Hilton, another buddy of mine on the team, these were such funny guys. They were just wild men. They were crazy. And they were brilliant. I mean, brilliant, elite-level soccer players.
Did they live on the terrace?
They lived on the terrace.
Okay.
And my friend Doug Dugan actually went on to play professional. And so he, I think he played for DC United for a while. And the thing about these guys is we had
1985, Mike.
No, it wouldn't have been 85. Did they win a championship?
They
in 85?
Won. They went to the national championship game against UCLA, unprecedented in 1985.
Look up American University 1980, 81, 82. Look it up. 1980, 81. That's when they would have been. They would have done well then, and they would have gone to.
I think thought of you still going to AU in 1985 and doing the morning show.
He's a younger man than I thought.
They go down to Clemson. I think they play Clemson.
Right.
And they go to this facility, and all I know is that for a month afterwards, you had guys on the McDowell Terrace with Clemson Tiger sweatpants, Clemson Tigers hoodies, Clemson Tigers. They found a laundry bin in the visitors' locker room that was that was filled with all this Clemson crap. And they took it. And they took it all back
fantastic.
To American University. And I never will forget. I had everybody had a Clemson, and this was like the gold standard of sports equipment.
Yeah.
Like professional quality stuff. And, you know, we
and made better
kind of
by
crap.
The fact that it was stolen.
Yeah, like you'd go to the American, it's gotten better. You go to the AU bookstore now. Back in my day, when you went to the AU bookstore, you walk in and go, hey, here's a nice hat.
Yeah, that's
It. You know, that's what
not a lot
had,
of money so. In merch.
Yeah, so it was truly, they've had a good program for a long time, but that was what I remember about Clemson, and it was a big win for that program because Alabama is even bigger than them. So
I went to the AU bookstore just last week, Mike. They're still selling Tony Perkins key tags.
That's
so pick one up. Yeah. They're great.
Right next to the bobbleheads. Yes, Oscar.
For AmericanUniversity.edu, I went right to your page. There was some sort of championship between 80 and 81, and it goes right to a site error. So.
Oh. Sorry about that. Yeah,
so it was literally prehistoric.
I apologize for screwing that up because I should know the details of that. But we had a good time with the soccer players on the floor. They were wonderful guys. So back to the whole thing with you and our pilot friend Joel Rogers. Joel, you flew in today. You're a big fan of the show. You're a friend of ours, and you get the distinct honor and privilege of sitting in on the show. And
well, I've called so many times into Wide Open Wednesday. I figure you're going to block me, so I have to come in person one last time.
Hey, what's the deal with the? Am I canceling Wide Open Wednesday with all the bitching online about the delay and all that stuff? Big thread.
Joel, when you call, do you have a problem?
I get a busy signal most of the time.
Yeah,
but you've taken my call.
Do you hear us?
Do
you when we come on the air? Do you hear? And we come on depending on when
remember.
You get the call, right?
I can't remember. There is a little delay, and there are times where I don't hear what you're saying. It's minor.
We're working on it. You don't have to cancel it, Mike. That's something that is on my list to address after the program today.
I don't like whining, though, Oscar. I don't like whining. And, you know, the Wide
Ron
Open
Eek,
Wednesday feature.
You're better than this.
Yeah, Ron Eek.
The Wide Open. Well, that was quite a. Ron Eek is not hesitant to share his opinion.
Well, turn on you like a python.
Yeah, he does turn on you occasionally. So, you know, but Ron Eek's another big supporter of the show.
Yeah,
we have a small.
I'm going to go top three
listeners.
Right now. Cappy Pfeiffer, Joel Rogers, Ron Eek, maybe four. Merle
Dirk
Rogers.
Fastrick.
A five.
No relationship. Right? Very good.
No relationship.
Jolene top five. White. Top five. Top, Jolene's on the outside. Now, listen. Joel Rogers.
Is he sober? Let me ask you this.
Yes. I don't even know if he's breathing.
100%. Is he still drunk?
100%. I didn't drink last night. I was watching the game by myself.
That's so sad.
Which is so sad. Sober. Joel. You know this, that I love to break balls, right?
That's fine.
Now,
bring it on.
When I ask you.
I'll just cry a little.
I got you back, literally. I'm in the monitor and back of you, Joel.
Can these planes land themselves?
At some airports, yes.
Okay.
But there's a lot of programming. It's like, and I wish there was a good business school analogy that I could use, but it's like.
Oh, well, hold it. You know, we really should pause here and let Oscar mention that he graduated from business school.
You know, you use computers, but how much input do you have to do to the computers to do something in business, would publish or whatever? It's the same thing with the airplane. Yeah, there's an autopilot, but there's so many steps to set it up properly.
Like an algorithm with no data.
Sure.
Yeah, but once you build the formula, you just hit repeat.
No.
Not in the...
Every airport's different. Every approach is different. And so
do you feel more comfortable...
And what about the weather?
As a pilot...
That's a variable.
Land...
Robert, you're being snarky, too.
I'm being snarky to him.
Well, no, it sounded like you were snarky.
Yeah. No, no, I'm absolutely on Joel's side. Are you telling me, Oscar, that every approach is different? Just the weather alone is a variable that requires having a living person.
I understand that, but...
Also, I'd like to mention this little thing called flight control, where they divert you, and you have to take different routes in, like I did coming in the other
day. Can the tower...
I almost had to hold on the way in here yesterday. And again, I'm the one that has to program that in.
Yes. Can the tower...
But you also, you know, when necessary, you shut everything down and you fly... The aircraft yourself.
Probably 98, 99 out of 100 landings we're doing manually.
What are you doing when you're up in the air?
When I'm
How much lotion do you need?
And
drinking scotch and boning flight
attendants. I should be so lucky.
Just like Denzel Washington.
That's right. And I had boost bottle behind my back.
Can you go
like
inverted and then land and save souls? Is your question.
The best thing about that movie I've ever heard, somebody said they could believe that the guy's drinking, but they can't believe the captain would do the exterior walk around in the rain, because they don't do that. That's
the thing you don't buy
into? That's my job. Yeah. Yeah.
I understand that.
The captain says, you do it. I'm senior, so I'm the one
Oscar
out there
Santana
in the weather.
Checklist. Let's see what I'm going to do today. All right. Try to derail Mike's opening bit. Insult the guest that's coming to visit. There we go.
Joel knew what was coming. now, Joel, now that you're in the octagon.
All right, let's hear it.
Let's say
Comedy Coliseum.
You go unconscious, God forbid. And the captain is what he's hoping for right now. Okay.
I would never say this, but I have a friend, Shmuel Schmodgers.
Yes.
who was flying once early morning going from Boston to, I think, Minneapolis. And the captain, about an hour into the flight, needed a restroom break, which is normal. You know, it's early in the morning. It's that time. He's got to go.
Sure.
So the way it works, you call and you have the magic code word to open the door and all that nonsense. The flight attendant normally comes in, so I'm not alone in the cockpit.
She does.
Everybody. Yeah, it's. I wish.
Don't respond to everything, Joel. Yeah, don't worry. Right. That's where you get into trouble.
All right.
He's going to give you these little chips.
That's fine.
He's going to give you these little chips, and if you respond to everyone, you're going to get real big trouble.
I'm going to keep
flying. She just comes and checks on you.
So
I'm here to help you, pal.
So the guy that Shmuel Schmodgers was flying with got up and passed out.
Oh, no.
You mean in the cockpit?
He opened the door to use the restroom and just kind of paused and put his head on the door, just kind of went...
Oh, so what luck that he had got far enough out so that
the door was open.
The passengers could see him pass out.
It was early in the morning. But so long story short, you talk to the guy later. Well, he didn't have dinner the night before. He didn't have a good breakfast. Then he had some bagel and it sent him off. And
it's like Duran.
Yeah, he didn't totally.
He wasn't ready
totally
to fight.
Pass it. So anyway, the thoughts that go through your head are, oh, I hope he's okay. And then. Oh, my God, I hope I'm not on CNN tonight.
Oh, man.
So to answer your question, now, the good news was he got some OJ. He perked up. He was fine. The good news is Yeah, no.
No, no, no.
So you got to write that whole thing up when that happens, right? I mean, that's a big deal for him, right?
There might have been some paperwork involved in that one.
Yeah, I bet. Wow.
But to answer your question, I could land it alone. I flew airplanes for years by myself.
Okay, so you don't need two people in the front.
No, it's easier when I can say,
Oscar, are you trying to make the point that flying an airplane is easy?
I'm saying that these hot shots at the front of the plane that stand as you deboard so you can congratulate
when you deboard, Mike. You don't deboard.
The plane, whatever.
It's the plane, thank you.
That stand there waiting for me to give them a high five or some sort of tip. For flying me around.
It's good customer service to say thank you.
No, I love you stand there like a bunch of dicks and want me to lick your ass. What's wrong with him today? I paid for this flight and the computer landed it.
Give him a breathalyzer check. I want a breathalyzer test. The fact is,
breathalyzer
I like to see the pilots. I like to have communication by the pilots. I like to see him before the flight. I like to see him after the flight. Including the one that flew me in with the aborted landing at Regional Southwest Airport when he had a guitar in his back.
No, you're fine. You seem like a nice guy.
Well, I'm talking about in general.
No, I don't even like seeing my Uber drivers. Like, I just want to get in and you drive. This is my service. I'm paying for it.
You know what I love?
Move on.
I love the captain that is into the showbiz element of his job. I like this. I like the guy that is confident on the mic, makes announcements, says stuff like that.
I keep the stick to a minimum.
But
you know what? Remember we flew, I think we were flying maybe out of Denver. Might have been
Southwest.
Vegas. I'm not sure. We were flying into San Diego and we flew over the Grand Canyon and the pilot actually did a go around of the Grand Canyon because it was such an amazing day. And I loved that. And there were other people that hated it.
I don't know why we just can't get there sooner so I can mow my lawn.
Exactly.
I wrote it.
So how do you not love this? Smell the roses, for God's sake.
Joe, what's the best joke you give over the intercom?
Oh, none.
None.
None. But I'll tell my annual Christmas joke.
Please.
Do we have time for
all we have is time.
So the FAA.
All of a sudden it's Bob Hope.
That's right.
Hey, do we have time? Johnny, I want to tell this one joke. It's marvelous.
So the FAA has to inspect Santa because he's flying every year. And the FAA inspector sits down next to him and he checks his paperwork, checks the weight and balance, checks the logbook, everything. Sits down by Santa, takes out a shotgun, puts it in his lap. Captain looks over like, what the heck's going on? And Santa goes, what's with the gun? And the FAA inspector says, well, I shouldn't tell you this, but I'm going to see how you do with an engine failure on takeoff.
Oh, my God.
There you go, baby. That's pilot humor on the Mike O'Mara Show. We will take a break.
The dark side of pilot humor.
With more fun. You back off. You give him a free pass the rest of this show. We'll take a break. Come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
What's up, everybody? It's Rob Mayer from the Rob and Joe Show. It's that time of the year again. A new Rob and Joe promo. Joe's not even here. We're that lazy. Our fearless leader, Mike O'Mara, said we need new promos. And 7 months later, here I am. Yes, that's how creative we are. Check back for our next promo in 12 years when we break down the great Anthony Weiner, Mel Gibson presidential race. Rob and Joe Show, new episodes every week. Subscribe on iTunes. Download us on the app, robandjoeshow.com. See you in 2028, the year of the oxen.
They're in studio tomorrow, Mike.
They're dropping
Rob and Joe to talk about that guy Dan Nanen that they have the feud with. It's a crazy story.
Absolutely fascinating.
The comedy writes itself.
Yes.
Comedians against comedians. We've got that on the show tomorrow. It should be very interesting. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show brought to you by Sleep Number. I love my Sleep Number bed. I've told you about it for so long, and I really do appreciate everybody going into their Sleep Number stores and checking the box that says the TMOS on it so that you let them know that you're buying your Sleep Number because we recommended it to you. It is life-changing. It is probably the only bed you will ever need. And I use Sleep Number with Sleep IQ technology that gets you all the information you need to know to have a perfect night's sleep, which makes you healthier. Whether it's adjusting your Sleep Number setting or making different lifestyle choices, you know what's working because Sleep IQ tells you, and it is so incredibly comfortable, and you can adjust it, and the fact is that we have the dual adjusting beds in the O'Mara household with the dual adjusting platforms, and it is so
wonderful to do that. My sleep number setting is an 85. Carlos is a 65. And last night, my sleep IQ score was 95, and I feel great. Sleep Number Queen mattresses start at only $699.99. And right now, during the lowest prices of the season, you can save $600 on the Sleep Number i8 bed. You'll only find Sleep Number at any of the 500 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find one near you by calling 800-511-0061. Make sure that you lock the front door and be sure to... No, don't do that. That'll make them freaked out.
No,
that'll make them nervous if you do that. Just, you know, go up there. What was that little thing you had that you said yesterday, Rob? They got a little box that you check TMOS
on. I showed it on the video feed right here.
Check the Mike O'Mara Show.
It is under radio, and you click Mike O'Mara Podcast. It's right there. It's like
wonderful. Wonderful. Awesome. Well, it's great to be here. And how's your winter going? Is it what's
cold?
Is it cold up there today? It's freezing, Mike, again.
And I think that I think my amazing POS mobile hates the cold. It stalled on me on the toll road today, which is a thrilling
feeling.
This
is your Oldsmobile Buick?
Yeah, it's the Buick LaCrosse. And actually, I was in the left lane tooling along at a... Thank you.
No, there's no need for that. There's no need for that.
No, they're not booing. They're saying Buick.
How do you... How can a car have low coolant level when it's so cool?
It wasn't low coolant. It stalled.
No, I'm talking about my car has low coolant level.
Oh, it has low coolant level?
Yeah, I'm like, it's freezing outside. What more do you want?
Well, if it gets too low, I think it can actually freeze up.
It needs
to have enough to circulate.
So you regret
that move of scavenging that vehicle from your family? Did it not work out the way you went to? You loved the car at first. I remember that.
It seemed like
I don't know that I ever loved the car. I accepted the car. It seemed like a wise move.
Did I mention my rental was a Buick up in the wilds of Maine?
Oh, no.
I bet you got a lot of trim.
A LaCrosse?
It was an Enclave.
Oh.
Is that a crossover?
That is a regular it's a regular
SUV.
Sub.
Okay.
You gotta wear white hoodie
loved it.
To drive it.
So I was
Did I even tell you my rental car debacle?
No.
No.
That I arrived in Boston. It was 7 degrees in Boston.
We looked this thing up.
I had just gotten over the death grip. You heard
on the
show before we left. And I had kicked it. I remember saying to Carla, perfect timing, going up to see the family.
Right.
No cold, no thing. And I didn't realize it was going to be one of those colds that actually lasts all year.
Literally looks like a penis.
So,
up to now I thought the Buick Enclave was a yearly meeting where they could design a really crappy car.
This is 2016, and it looks like it's from 1992.
Yeah. Well, that's okay, but I will tell you what happened. So I rent the car, and because there are a lot of moving parts to this trip with my daughters coming in and my mother-in-law coming in, I am really trying, to get the cheapest but the best in the weather vehicle that I can get.
And also and size is an issue.
Yeah, but with rental car companies, when you go on the on the website, what's he doing?
They make an Enclave Hearst.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Okay, and it's Mike. It's a Hearst. It only carries dead newspaper publishers.
Thank you very much. So I get to the airport.
Put a pin in this guy.
I am trying. I'm trying to do a show. It is like, I swear to God, I feel like I'm in the weight room right now. I really do. So I get to the airport, and it's 7 degrees in Boston. And I have, just flown in from sunny Florida. 7 degrees is not what I anticipated. 7 degrees is absolutely one of the worst situations I can experience. And I get up, and they said on my little rent-a-car website sheet, it says GMC Terrain or similar. You know, when you rent a car, they say you get the Toyota Corolla or similar. You get this or similar. It says GMC Terrain or similar. Now, while I'm in the air, thank you, Wi-Fi, I am, typing away, and I'm getting the old bypass all the lines thing.
Sure.
Where you can actually fill out all your paperwork and be ready to go. So by the time I get there to the third floor of the rental car place in Boston, I zip out to my car. I say to the young lady, she said, are you here for Alamo? I said, yes, I'm here for Alamo. Thank you very much. She said, your car is right over there. And I walk right over to the Hyundai. Look at the Hyundai. I call the young lady over, who could not have been more delightful. She for 7 degrees, she was extremely pleasant. And I said, my rental agreement said GMC Terrain or similar. And I said, this is not similar. And she looks at it, and there's not even a negotiation. She knows that I'm telling the truth. I'm not going to drive the 400-year-old Hyundai when you know I want to get.
But you know what?
Car.
They're counting on the person not caring.
That's true.
Oh, that's what they're hoping.
A boxy car. It might be a smaller box. Yeah. But it'll all
look
drive
how they
away
misspelled GMC.
Well, not this guy. This guy, it's a, you know, I know I've got the whole brood. I'm going to have the whole family up there. I am going to have six or seven people.
And
in this
you
car
have to drive
point
from Boston to down
to
east.
Maine.
Yeah.
To Maine. Absolutely. So I say, this is not someone. She goes, hold on. Let me check. And I'm not a dick about it, but I'm forceful enough that she knows I'm not accepting that car. So she says, stand over here. And outside of their
in
little,
the 7 degrees,
outside of their little kiosk, which I find out, this will come into play later, they have one of those chain link heaters that's hanging from the ceiling with like one bar in it that is absolutely doing nothing to. And at the 10-minute mark, I am starting to actually shiver waiting for this car. At this point, she comes back. She said, they're working on getting your car up here in just a minute. I said, that's fantastic. She looks at me, God bless her. She goes, would you like to come in here? And so she sends me into their little office that they have on the rental car floor.
Sure.
Where it's 88 degrees. And it was blissful to be in there.
Were you in there with her?
I was in there with her and another dude. And we got naked and we banged.
No. I don't mean that.
No, it's just that those little offices don't have enough space for one person.
They're not big, but they were warm and it worked for me. And then shortly thereafter, they pull up with the Oldsmobile Buick, the Buick Enclave. And I was all in. I think it was a
would you buy
ducky,
one?
Dreamy. I didn't care for the nature of the engine, that I thought it was a bit underpowered, but on all other levels, as far as a large SUV, what was that?
You're on the nose, underpowered.
They're underpowered.
Yeah.
They're very underpowered. Everything else, though, the bells, the whistles, the ride of the thing were fantastic. It was great, and, you know, it takes a while to
so
heat
you're
up.
So you stayed running?
Yes, it stayed running.
That's
it ran
key for the good ride.
And it had It had three rows of seats in the back. So I was, at one point I had the mother-in-law, the son, the two daughters, and Carla, and we were all in there and very, very comfortable.
Excellent.
So, you know, hats off to the – how's Dan O'Brien doing over there? I swear to God, I feel like I'm looking at Mount Rushmore as I look over into the corner.
Ken Bone is doing just fine. He is under the weather as well. Dan
really?
O'Brien, our intern. So try not to stare at him or have you distract him. The sweater is tight.
Yeah, it is. And it's good that you would call him Mount Rushmore, because if his next internship, in theory, goes well, he'll be the fifth face on the mountain.
But I'm glad you mentioned that. We had a guy that we work with at WOHN, and because I've been on the Dan O'Brien website to see that picture where he's kind of looking off into space in his tuxedo.
Yes.
His nickname heretofore. We've given them to Diego.
Yeah.
We have given them to all of our interns. Dan O'Brien's nickname from this day forward will be Face.
Face?
Face.
Not a bad nickname.
Like it.
It could be good looking. It could be part of the A-team.
Yeah.
It's Face.
Yeah.
It's Face.
Yes.
He's got a large head.
Yeah.
He's got a very large
head.
We
had a girl in high school that we called Face. Mm-hmm. It was because it was a mysterious face.
You guys.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys are
How is it mysterious?
That sometimes if the light caught her just right, you would say, hey, you know what? She's not so bad looking. And then sometimes the light would catch her, and it would look like a topographic map. It was just horrifying. I said, what a mysterious
face. It's like a Seinfeld episode.
Now, Dan, you should probably go to Mike's camera, because he is without his glasses today. So what you have today is casual face.
Please.
So please,
Stand
up there.
I'm going to ask you this, Dan O'Brien, because I noticed online that you started something. What are you sending him up to?
Look, Ken Bone. Ken Bone's here.
And right, totally devoid of a mustache, but a full beard.
Everybody has facial hair in this room except me. I feel so awkward.
Are you allowed? Is that a?
Oh no,
the
oxygen mask won't seal on a beard.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Don't break the seal, Mike.
That's it.
Don't break the seal. That's another story for another time.
That is.
Hey, Dan O'Brien,
yes.
You did something, or you started something in December. I saw it on your webpage that you were coming up with some unique idea about keeping college kids safe, and I wanted to ask you about it, because you know what? I thought it was kind of cool when I reviewed that. And
here we go.
Now, Rob, now it's you. What? No. What are you laughing at now?
His policy to keep college
kids safe.
Every
goddamn subject I get on, somebody goes in the total opposite f***ing direction on this show today. What? What are you chortling at now?
Best way to keep college kids safe is for him to go home.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks.
Waka.
There you go.
Wow, right, what type of pederast deal are you peddling these days?
Can you talk about, you have some sort of idea that was taking hold?
What is the idea?
So the idea is to have it so that on the back of every student ID, there are emergency numbers so that whenever anybody feels unsafe, they have somebody to talk to. I know these students, they always carry their student IDs with them, especially the freshmen, especially the ones that aren't used to the area. I brought it to George Mason University when I was in the student government. I got a lot of positive feedback, and if all goes well, I want to bring it to every school in America.
Oh, that's really nice.
Smart.
Yeah, that's really smart.
Look at Rob, now thank silence. Now you have nothing to say if it's not that you're snarky.
You
literally have nothing to say to him. I think that is a very cool idea that could actually take hold. I think that's not bad at all.
Thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate
you're
it.
Welcome. Got counter-
Doesn't change that picture on his Facebook page, though.
Okay, there you go.
Couple things. One, I think people do that in their own way. Those who have smartphones call their friends and FaceTime them on the way home.
While they're walking.
I see girls do that all the time in the city.
My daughter does.
They're talking to somebody while they're walking just in case they get scooped up by a miscreant.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. So then that works.
I'm not even going to call him on it.
So that's one. But two, also having a number you can call just if you want someone to keep you company while you're walking, because not everyone has someone they can FaceTime or call. That's really cool of you. That's really
so you're going to have like a cop and fire department, and then I'm guessing your personal phone number, right?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
How is the idea? I thought it was a pretty cool little
pretty
thing.
Impressive.
I was curious about it. How is it being received so far? GMU liking it so far?
Yeah, GMU likes it so far. I've emailed every school from Virginia all the way up to Maine. Every state, every college and university. I haven't gotten like every school feedback, but from the schools that have responded to me, it's been all positive.
And there's a lot of red tape.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so you got to get through that. Once you
Oscar,
get through that, you'll
be fine. Can you take him public with this idea?
No, he's basically saying print some phone numbers on the back of a card. It's a nice idea, but there's no IP there.
No, yeah, but the magic is there's no profit. But the magic is that even though there's no profit, it's very cheap and a big return.
People will be
on a
safe.
cheap investment.
You know, your karma return is going to be 1,000%.
I appreciate
that. Now back to our pilot at hand.
I just have a quick question for him.
You know,
I'll give you what is wrong with you today?
This is a good question.
Do you
want to
talk about
my
Tesla or something else?
Now
I mean, let's go.
Back to our pilot. Right. Rob, we didn't even need to show up today. We just put Joel and Oscar in a room.
It's like you're on autopilot.
Show in the history of shows.
What are the pilot perks that you get?
Remember, you have a question ready when you said that.
Hold on, this
is a legit. Joel, shut up a second. Hold on. Now Mike's taking over. Sorry about this. Mike is taking over his own show. My sincere apologies. When you said, "Now back to our pilot," did you have? And then your question: what kind of perks do you get as a pilot?
I had the website up for the Sky Miles Club for Delta, and I wanted to.
Well,
ask,
that's good. You've been in that computer for the whole goddamn show.
Well, because I need
Joel. What kind of did they let you use any special lounges?
Well, no. Hey, that was the question I was going to because when I went to the website, I said, "Well, he must have access to all these programs."
The Sky lounges, no. Those are for the customers.
You can't go into the Centurion Lounge.
Oh no,
you're a pilot.
Pay for it.
Wow.
No, I get free travel if the seats are open.
I don't care about the perks. Let me ask you a question. I want to ask this question. This is really important for me. I was thinking about this just the other day. We had a 6 a.m. flight.
Yeah.
You're a Johnny pilot where you have to do your walk around the aircraft. You do that. You have a 6 a.m. flight. What time on average do you have to get there? And does it vary if you do have like a crack of dawn flight as opposed to like a 7 o'clock flight? What is the routine? How early do you have to get there to fly that big bird?
Domestically, they want us there 1 hour. They want us hitting the curb 1 hour prior to departure.
It's not bad. When you say hit the curb,
you mean arrive at the airport. Okay.
So, you know, by the time we actually get to the airplane, it may be 45 minutes or so, which is pushing it. I mean, I could show up a half hour prior, but then I'm a little rushed. Internationally, they're shooting for like an hour and a half for the long
hour and a half. Yeah. Okay. All right. So as the captain, you have to do your own personal walk around the place.
Yes.
Can you delegate that off to the co-pilot?
Well, I'm still the co-pilot. I could have been a captain in the little airplanes in New York, and I don't want to do that. So I'm happy to be the number two guy on the big planes and do the overseas stuff. So technically, the captain delegates it to me, but 99 times out of 100, I just do it without even asking.
So if you want like to go to a smaller jet, you could be the captain, but you'd rather fly the big birds and eventually get the big birds, and that's kind of the normal trajectory for somebody that wants to do what you want to do.
Yep.
How long have you been flying, Joel?
I started when I was in high school, so I was 16, and I soloed, and I got my pilot's license at 17, so it's been a while.
So you've been at it a while. Is it a common course to fly as long as you've flown before you get to captain the big plane?
It varies. You know, 5-10 years ago after 9/11, when nobody was moving up and there were so many cuts, everybody kind of stagnated along the seniority list. Now
you failed a lot of your tests, Joel.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
You're supposed to be the nice one.
I was said now. See, I know I'm supposed to be the nice guy.
And Mike, and I'll say it because he's too proud not to. Sober 4 years.
That's right.
That is terrific.
Joel, what are the perks?
He wants his perk question answered.
Besides a 16-hour layover in D.C. so I could see you guys.
Very kind.
Nice.
I do, if the airplane is open, if their seat's open, I get to travel for free. But in this day and age, those seats are pretty full.
Is that because they've cut back on the overall number of flights,
right? Well, and they're good at dumping those last-minute seats on Hotwire or Kayak or something because those last few seats are almost pure profit.
What about the jump seat? What about like on a big
And that's it. So if I'm by myself, not with my family, I can do the jump seat if it's open. And
Does your family get to come along if there are seats available?
There are if there are seats available. The last time I flew them to Florida, I actually bought tickets. I got cheaper. I got a discount.
That's important.
But it was like, you know, we needed to get back for school and I needed to get back to work. I said, I'm just going to spend the money and buy the seats and know we have seats and not worry about getting up at 4 a.m. to get that first flight.
And hope to get on a plane by the end of the day.
Yeah.
And things change, you know, the day before I go, hey, they're open seats. And then you get to the airport and, United canceled and they put all the people on our flights and we'll never get out of there.
And what's
I have a last question for you. As far as flying goes, my experience over the weekend, the go around, the dreaded go around that we experience. Yep. Someone mentioned that expensive when that happens. How big a deal is the go around? And when he said they put another plane too close to him,
that's probably true. Yeah,
that's probably
that happens
what it was.
A lot.
How
yeah.
big it happens a lot? Is it as big a deal as
safety wise? No. Work wise, I mean, I got to work a little bit, and it money wise, yeah, I'll burn my airplane will burn almost 1,000 pounds of gas doing a takeoff and then coming back around. So there's a little financial cost, but. Hey, if we're gonna,
that's a sunk cost, safety.
You gotta do it. Yeah, it's don't argue
first.
It. Yeah, it's
right, not that big a deal. If you're up there and they do that, it's not anything where. Because I wet myself when that happens.
Mike also lost 1,000 pounds of fuel.
Mike did a little fuel dump when the fire needs to go around. We'll take a break and come back with news you may not need. And hey, Dan O'Brien. Good thinking there. Yeah. I encourage
Smart.
That.
Thank
good
you.
Stuff.
Thank
Way to
you
go.
Very
we'll
much,
take a
Mike.
Break. Come back with news you may not need on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, everyone. Intern Dotson here. You know, the one whose microphone is never turned on. You know what tomorrow is? It's Wide Open Wednesday. Starting at 9 a.m., the Mike O'Mara Show takes your phone call. Want to be a small part of TMOS? Do you have a great story for the boys? Make sure to dial 888-920-MORE for your chance to talk to Mike, Rob, Oscar, and even Pony. Wide Open Wednesday starting at 9 a.m. That's 888-920-6673. And make it count.
Make it count. Now listen. We're catching a little heat about being, curt with the callers, but the fact is, we're always curt with the callers. We have fun being curt with the callers, and, when you get online and you complain about the technical aspect of the phone calls, well, that's all well and good, but we're working on it, okay? I'm not sure. I have to be honest with you. Wide Open Wednesday, I like to do it. I don't live to do it, but, keep whining. See where that gets you. I'm telling you.
I do know this,
my warning to you.
If we're curt with the callers, it's only because time is of the essence.
Yeah, and these calls don't answer themselves.
Exactly. Sure. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Digging.
I swear to God. Someone get him a hot towel. This portion of our program is brought to you by Amazon.
Yay.
Oscar, do the Amazon commercial.
All right, people, listen up.
I've got a question about Amazon. It's a good question. What are the perks?
When you're not letting the computer fly itself.
Oh, perfect day for video. That was the best spit take in 2 years.
Yes. when you're not letting the computer do everything for you, how about you do this? You take that atrophied arm of yours and you go to the mouse and you click on MichaelMirrorShow.com, and right there, there's an Amazon banner to the right, top right hand corner, right next to the microphone. Click through that, no code needed, and shop away. It's the same savings you'd get with Amazon, but we get a little taste. By little, it's too little, but anything counts. So bring it our way, Amazon.com. It's through the MichaelMirrorShow.com page, and you hit the banner right there.
Oscar, would you say it's the easiest way to support the show?
It almost does it itself.
Right.
There you go.
Thanks. News.
News. Oh, Lord. I got to go to my pain doctor today. Some might say I've already been to my pain doctor today. All right, let's moving right along. French police hauled in 17 possible suspects in the armed robbery of Kim Kardashian last year in Paris. One works for a limo company the Kardashians always used in Paris and was apparently the last person to have driven Kim before she was robbed. Police think he may have told the robbers when Kim would be in her hotel room. Last we heard, they're just being held for questioning and haven't been arrested. Most of the suspects are seasoned criminals already known to French police. Three of them are women, and TMZ says that two of them are, quote, diamond dealers.
Wow.
One of the suspects is a 72-year-old man who may have helped organize the whole thing. He and two other elderly men are also believed to have helped transport some of the stolen jewelry to Belgium. Police think they have the five guys who actually pulled off the robbery, and at least one of them was identified by DNA he left on the roll of tape used to bind and gag Kim. So that's the latest.
That's
on
pretty fascinating detail.
Yeah. Sounds like they're getting to the bottom of it, really. But the elderly factor is kind of interesting to me. These veteran.
I'd like to picture an older thief like a John Forsythe and a young hot girl doing it.
Did anyone else think five guys and peanut shells everywhere?
Yes. Absolutely.
Well, magic Coke machine.
Five guys robberies. Thanks for calling. All right. Goodwill Hunting made Ben Affleck and Matt Damon who they are today, but it only got made because of Robin Williams, because he agreed to do it.
All right.
I think I've read that before. Yeah. Unfortunately, they can't pay him back anymore. Matt says, quote, "Oh, man, I have a lot of Robin Williams memories, good memories of him." And Ben said recently, "It's weird. We always felt like we were going to, we had this incredible debt to pay him back. And we thought that there would be time to do that. And just the abruptness of somebody leaving like that, that realization comes to you that you're never going to be able to pay back this incredible thing done for you." So I guess they maybe wanted to write a movie for him or give him another
work
role.
Work with him, at least. Yeah,
yeah. That's a shame. So that's it. Stranger Things. You guys turned me on to that show last year.
Great show.
I cannot be more grateful for that. I love, love, love that show. It was kind of a love letter to early 80s stuff like E.T. and The Goonies.
Yep.
But I don't know if you're aware of the fact that originally it was going to be a lot more adult and kind of that kind of sci-fi as opposed to the fluffy Steven Spielberg. An earlier version of the script contained a lot more violence and profanity, which isn't too surprising given that it focuses on a little girl who can violently kill people with her mind. creator Matt Duffer. Is it the Duffer Brothers?
It is the Duffer Brothers.
Matt Duffer said, quote, "It was originally like an R-rated thing. Winona Ryder's character was like F this, F that. It felt a little bit unnecessary. I don't feel like we sacrificed anything by toning it down a bit." I think you, in fact, probably went the other way.
They did the right thing.
You know what? It really is. If you have to put the button on that whole show, the tone of it is what was perfect.
You watched it multiple times.
I watched it through twice. Yeah. The kids loved it. And I couldn't have watched it if the language had been that severe. It was like a Spielberg 80s type movie.
So much fun.
Family stuff.
You know, it's kind of like our bonus show and our regular show when we edit it. You know, when the profanity comes up and it's completely isolated and kind of comes naturally.
Well, it's organic.
Do you remember the early days of satellite radio where all those radio shows that had gotten on satellite were so force-feeding the profanity?
And it just didn't work. Mike. Pent up.
Now, in our real life, F this, F that, but, you know, Stranger Things, I love that show. Looking forward to seeing it again. If you want to get a little free wine the next time you're at a restaurant, here are two ways to do it. I know our listeners are perking their ears up right now.
We have a whole society based on this.
They won't make a huge difference, but you might get a little stronger buzz. Here it is. Number one, before you sit down, look for a section with a waiter, not a waitress. A few different studies have found that men pour more wine than women do.
About 9%. That's a significant amount.
I'll add up.
About 9% more on average. Don't ask for a male waiter. It's not worth looking like a sexist jerk just to get one more sip for free. Number two, hold your glass while your waiter pours the wine. So I guess that means you got to get a bottle, or he's bringing that to the table. It's not like having it done at the bar. A study in 2013 found that we pour about 12% more wine when someone is holding their glass. That makes total sense to me, compared to when it's sitting on the table. The chance of them spilling on you is a little higher, though, so hold it over the table. Well, thanks for that. I don't need that detail. Your other option that's sort of obvious is just getting a bottle instead of ordering by the glass. If your table is having at least four or five glasses,
sure,
that, of course, is a cheaper way to go. So, winos everywhere, listen and enjoy.
And also, they say never order the second cheapest bottle of wine on a menu, because you are predisposed to do that by saying, I'll save money, but I don't want the cheapest.
Right.
So, they actually put a lesser wine at second to cheapest. You're just as good buying the cheapest bottle.
Oh, wow.
And then you can use the old app that I have. I think it's called Vimino or Vinio. I'm not sure. Let me see. Hold on.
It's a wine app?
It's my new favorite app. I love this app. It's a wine app, and
I thought they killed Vimeo. Oh, that was
Vimeo. Video, right?
Vimeo.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I've heard you mention this. Yeah.
It's called
Vimeo. So you look up the wine, and it tells you what type of flavor and star rating.
What I do is it takes a picture. You can take a picture of the label, and it lets you know how much the wine is selling it for. The people that are on the Vivino?
Yeah.
Are actually rating the wine,
cool,
too.
Cool.
That's neat.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, look, you've got a limited number of people that use it, so you're not going to get exactly what experts are saying and all that, but you're going to get the people that have tried the wine.
It's ways for alcoholics.
Yes.
Oh, and you can also find where it's being sold cheapest. So you'll see a disparity between what they're, if you're getting a $40 bottle of wine and it's $110 somewhere, you're getting ripped off, and you'll know it with that app.
So that's cool.
Very cool. Children change your life and give you a new purpose and all that stuff.
Yeah,
times in my life. Blah, blah. What else changes your life?
Come on.
You know what else changes your life and gives you a new purpose? Having extra money. According to the latest...
That's the job perk right there. Oscar, there's your answer.
According to the latest stats from the Department of Agriculture, not sure why they got the statistics, it now costs $233,610 to raise a child from the day they're born until they turn 18. And that doesn't even include college. Per year. That's roughly $13,000 a year for their entire childhood. The biggest chunk that goes into this is housing, since you need an extra bedroom now that you have a kid. The other main expenses are food, childcare, transportation, healthcare, and clothing. Makes sense. On the bright side, sort of, the costs of raising kids aren't going up as quickly as they used to. The costs have gone up an average of 4.3% per year since 1960, but this year, they're only up 3%.
Hey, let's have more kids.
That's fantastic. Who do we thank for that?
Obama.
Right. Thank you very much. Thank you. Whoa. And now a little something, boys. It was extremely bad for a family in Stock Island, Florida, when their home game of Family Feud made an actual Family Feud bubble up. I have to tell you, I source probably 4 to 8 kicker stories, these funny little stories at the end. My wife and I now have a game in the morning. I will give her the headlines before I even get into the body of the story, and I will ask her if she thinks they're from Florida.
That's a good game.
Today, there were 3 stories I gave her, and I guessed 2 of 3 would be Florida, and I was spot on.
Hey,
But this is the one I chose for you, even though, I don't go for Florida. I go for the dumbest story.
The funny,
Stock Island, Florida, home game of Family Feud. A 42-year-old woman named Jernine Green got mad at her 18-year-old niece, Tia Parada.
That's good names.
Jernine Green and Tia Parada.
Just for fun, how do you spell Jernine?
J-E-R-N-E-E-N.
It's how
Jermaine Green.
That's how I would have spelled it.
She's playing a little Family Feud board game with Tia Parada during the game. Jernine used that as an opportunity to bring up her suspicion that Tia had stolen some money from her. No good can come from that.
Ruh-roh.
They argued, and Jernine wound up grabbing a screwdriver and stabbing Tia in the ear.
Oh, no.
So the Family Feud turned into a real... She was arrested for felony aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. Our survey said, dumbest state in America.
There we go. Thank you very much. There you go. I love Florida. I do. Glad to be back. We'll take a break. Come back with Rob and his little sounds right after.
Hey, you little freak. I'm just kidding. It's your old buddy Rob. And guess what? The big news is brand new episode of Cake and Cookies. Tune in. It's available right now. You can hear how Katie had to have a pin extracted from her hand. It came out just like in the movie Alien. Also, I had to explain The Price is Right to Jabril. He had no idea what Rice-A-Roni was. And we go to a party. Brand new Cake and Cookies available right now. Go get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
He's Cake. She's Cookies. It's Rob and Katie.
He's Cake. She's Cookies. Cake and Cookies. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Are you all set for New Year's? Do you have all your ducks in a row? How about the bonus package?
Get it.
You see, each week we record a 6th episode of the show. It's uncensored. It's so much fun. And it can be yours if you subscribe to the TMOS bonus package. When you subscribe, you get an entire year. You get it. You get the Christmas album, too. Make 2017 the best year ever for everybody. The TMOS bonus package. Order it today. Gift it. Renew it. Send it to a friend. Do that stuff. So now, without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for today, Tuesday, Jan 10, 2017. Rob Spiewer.
Today's first sound, Mike. Today's first sound comes from the Green Bay Packers website. Remember the Hail Mary pass that they threw in the game that defeated your Giants ultimately?
Rob, do I remember? 6 seconds left in the first half.
That's the one.
I had just gotten done saying to my mother-in-law, well, this is a pretty good game so far. When the Giants secondary, I'm not sure how many of them made the trip down to Miami, but it didn't matter. The Hail Mary pass. The reason it's a Hail Mary is because it's a prayer.
Yeah.
You have a prayer of completing this pass. Well, not the Packers when the Giants secondary just quits. Anyway, sorry. Do I remember?
That's pretty much it. But if you want to recap, I have an interesting call of the game. This is the German television call. So this is the Hail Mary pass covered in German music added in post-production by me.
Wo ist der Ball? Auf welcher Höhe?
Am Mittellinie. Wofür ist Aaron Rodgers
bekannt? Ja, jetzt spielt Aaron Rodgers den vierten Versuch natürlich aus. Jetzt.
Hail Mary, tief in die Endzone. Rollt nach rechts und wirft jetzt.
Jetzt kommt das lange Ding, das ist Hail Mary, Aaron Rodgers. Und das kann doch nicht sein! Hail Mary, das ist unglaublich! Und der Coach hat es prognostiziert, du kannst auch über das Wasser laufen! Und Aaron Rodgers auch.
Was?
Das gibt's doch gar nicht.
Hölle?
Kopp fängt den Ball.
Und Randall Cobb ist 5 Fuß 10, ist der Kleinste, der da hinten rumsteht.
Aber wenn du das weißt, wenn wir das erwarten, wieso klappt es dann trotzdem aus Sicht der Giants? Wie kann das sein?
Giants haben hier nicht.
And of course, Mike.
Giants had it nicht.
You remember that team, Sonny und Sam.
Oh, God. That may be the best German I've ever heard on the show.
It was great. It was so much fun to watch it. Anyway,
hey,
so,
was there a field goal that hit the uprights? About a million people were putting
it on. Yeah, it was. Sure.
But there was no doing.
There wasn't the doing.
But no. I know when it happens because my phone goes, voot, 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 voot. I do appreciate the heads up, but it was not a yankable audio.
Also, some context with the Hail Mary.
Stop the German music.
As far as Aaron Rodgers is concerned, Mike, the Hail Mary we remember with Doug Flutie back in the days, that was like a 60-yard pass.
Yeah,
right?
BC, right? Yeah. Boston College.
Yes. Yeah. And this
got him a box of cereal.
This is a 47-yard pass, but Rodgers doesn't just throw it up. He throws it like straight up into the air. It's
it comes down 1 yard short of the back of the end zone.
If you played the game 500 with your friends ever, mm-hmm. where you throw the ball up in there and
Not
you call
chance.
Value,
yeah.
maybe you'll get something. I think Rodgers is perfecting this on a different level.
They said during the game, the analysis is that he does it better than anybody in the NFL. The thing about Aaron Rodgers, and I really do believe he is the – and I'm comparing him to Tom Brady now. I think Aaron Rodgers, with the game on the line and the team around him, I think he's the best in the business. He is so collected.
Yeah.
He is just so composed that it was amazing to watch. I mean, he put that ball –
He threaded the needle. It was incredible to watch. And the Hail Mary pass is not necessarily as winging a prayer with Aaron Rodgers throwing it, but I couldn't believe it. I really could. You know, and then you look at the DBs for the Giants. Yeah. That literally, there wasn't one person that even jumped up to try to stop
it. I think the New York Post had the best cover where they had the picture of the guys on the boat.
Yeah.
And it said shipwrecked.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I don't know. I thought the pass was wunderbar.
Wunderbar. The Germans loved it. Germans loved it.
Mike, can you name this sound? Remember we used to play Secret Sound?
Yes.
Can you name this sound? And you need to be specific.
Sounds like a dog toy being squeezed.
The answer, you have to give yourself a buzzer because you're not specific enough. The answer we were looking for, and you can find it on our YouTube page. I found it fascinating. It's a horse playing with a rubber chicken. This horse is having a blast.
Wow.
So do check it out. The thing is that I've had to take dog toys away because I hate the sound of that squeaker.
You don't like that? Yeah, we just got one for Frankie the other day.
But the speed of that horse, that's amazing. Now, I have to play a tape from The Bachelor for Oscar.
Please.
Because we're following this. Remember Alexis?
Nick Vale.
Remember Alexis who met The Bachelor in the dolphin costume
that
thought
shark.
Was a shark? Yeah. She came out last night and celebrated her boob's birthday by bringing him cupcakes because it had been 1 year since she'd gotten her implant.
It's a really an important night for me.
Important.
I have like something really big to tell him tonight. So I got my boobs done a year ago. So
this is good news for everybody. Happy
it's
birthday.
My birthday boob. It's my boobs birthday. It's my boobs birthday.
I've never celebrated a boob's birthday before.
I know. So
but, like
okay.
This is the first time for everything.
Happy birthday.
Who blows it out?
The boobs.
And then he grabbed the boobs. The speed was fantastic.
He's fast on The Bachelor.
All right. No great moments with John Lovitz last night. I will keep an eye on the Apprentice for you. And that
is
your
check the ratings, too. Check the ratings.
Oh, the Wunderbar. Yeah,
well, no, they weren't last week, so we'll see if the battle continues, if they still begin to tank. We're boycotting it in the O'Mara house.
Oh, you're boycotting it? So you're just leaving it up to me to give you the cut?
Absolutely. The cuts, just a clip with that. But no good Lovitz at all?
No, no. Hey, you know, it's kind of in the background.
Right.
Yeah, so nothing good. We will keep an eye on it. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
That's it. Thanks for joining us. Joel Rogers, fly safely.
Thank you.
Thank you for your continued support of TMOS. Our snail mail address is TMOS, P.O. Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007. If you want to send a birthday or message for our weekly mailbag segment, it's Rob with two Bs at MikeOmeraShow.com. Thanks for all the years of amazing support for TMOS. Continue to spread the word about our show all over the world. It's the important time of year. Don't forget us, people. For Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and our executive producer, Matt Ponyboy Bloom, this is Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for your favorite part of the day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Fly safe.
Thank you. No autopilot.
Last week, please remember that MikeOmaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeOmaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.